We're in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Katamathion. The Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, wasn't he? And he presents Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. He gives Jesus his lineage through Joseph, because Jesus was Joseph's adopted son. God was his father. And God, through the angel, told Joseph that very thing. Now we're in the 6th chapter. He just gave us a lesson on practical Christianity, and he's going to continuing doing that. Practical Christianity. And you are never more like God than when you give. You are never more like God than when you give. That's the title of the message tonight. You are never more like God than when you give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, but that he might save the world. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Who is Jesus offending at this moment when he said that? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests. Beware of practicing righteousness before men to be noticed by them, and otherwise you have no reward with your Father in heaven. No reward with your Father in heaven. Then when you give alms, the word alms here, now, they're supposed to tithe, absolutely. But now they're giving alms. Alms is above a tithe. And he said, when you give alms, when you do an act of charity, okay, shut up about it. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, for the hypocrites do so in the synagogues. Who is he talking about? The priest. He's talking about the Sadducees. He's talking about the Pharisees. That's exactly who he's denouncing these people to their face right now. In the synagogue. That's in church. Their synagogues is the place of going together. And in the streets. Remember when he told the story about the Pharisee standing up there on the corner telling God how wonderful he was, how great he was, how he thanked God that he was not made like other men, that he was righteous, and that he was not born a woman, that he was not born a Gentile, etc., etc. And Jesus is telling them, when they would go into the temple area, they'd take big coins and they'd drop it in this funnel shaped like a horn. And it would rattle all the way down to the box. They wanted to make a lot of noise. When they gave, they wanted everybody to know they gave. You do as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. Now, what is a hypocrite? That's an actor. He said, these people are acting like righteous judges of you, except they don't know me. They're hypocrites. They're actors. They were hypocrites. It comes from the word an actor, like on the Greek and the Roman theaters, people would get up there and act. They weren't who they say they were. They're acting. They're hypocrites. I remember Brother Madden so long ago. I just love that man. But he was really coarse in many of his ways. But his father-in-law came out to California from Arkansas. And he came out to California from Arkansas, and he wanted to see the movie star's house, especially John Wayne. And Brother Madden said, Brother, hustling or something like that, Brother, why do you want to put these actors, these hypocrites, on a pedestal? He said, you're up there and lying to you. He said, I don't think anything of these guys at all. They're liars. They make money lying. Well, anyway, he took him there. He wanted to see that. He wanted to see Disneyland and a bunch of these other things. And when therefore you give alms, do not sound your trumpet like the hypocrites, like the actors do. Do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. And truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That's all they're ever going to get. You're sure not going to get anything. When I judge them, you know, this is the judge talking here. This is the judge. The man that shall judge all men will be Jesus Christ. Because he's related to us here, our Goel, but he's also our condemner. He's the one that condemned people because he lived in the flesh. And these people were using their authority to manipulate, judge, and rob people. He said, you rob widows' houses. And you make orphans. You turn orphans out in the street. You won't even take care of your own mothers and fathers. You say, Corbin. It's dedicated to the temple. When I die, everything I have goes to the temple. What about the mother and fathers? What did it say? Honor your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. I say they have the reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not know your let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, people have really done some really weird things. The greatest advice I ever got, I didn't take it too well, but I knew a guy, but I had known him for probably 15 years of my life, or 10, something like that. And we raised chickens together and everything. He was a great Christian man. And he got a job for me out at Sunland Refinery in Bakersfield, California. He opened the door for that. And when he got back, almost every time he would see me, he said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He said, don't let anybody know anything about you. Just go on and do your job and shut up. And that was good advice. But he quoted it right from here. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then people would take their wallets out of their pockets in church, and they would go through their wallets, and they would pick money out of their wallets and put it in the offering plate behind them. Because they wouldn't want to know what your left hand, what your right hand is doing. But in my wallet, deep in my wallet, is going to have the highest denomination of money. It's going to be like 20, 10, 5, and 1s, or whatever. You know, they probably did the same thing. And some of them might have had a change purse, and they opened the change purse behind them and took money out of that and put it in the offering plate. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't let others know what you're doing. Just keep it secret. It's between you and God. Between you and God. Now, in early America, in the colonies, there was no freedom of religion. Baptists had a hard time coming into this country because there was not freedom of religion at all. And they founded their first colony. Dr. John Clark went to England and petitioned the King of England if they would let him open a free colony, which was Rhode Island. And they established two churches there, one in 1638, one in 1639, in Providence and Newport, Rhode Island. And you could be an atheist if you wanted to. You could be a Methodist. You could be anything you wanted to be. Of course, it wasn't Methodist around at that time, but you could be a Methodist if you wanted to, if you had been a Methodist. Anything you wanted to be, you could be a Catholic, you could be whatever, and you were not charged by the state. In every other state, Maryland, you paid your taxes, and it went to the Catholic Church. The taxes you paid to the state of Maryland went to the Catholic Church. And wherever Baptists lived, they were taxed to pay for Presbyterians or Puritans or whatever. Church of England, Catholics. They took your money, and they paid the preacher. Now, when the first Baptist churches were established in America, they get a group of people together, And they wanted a preacher that could preach the Word of God. They wanted an educated man. They wanted somebody that could preach the Bible and preach it good, doctrinally sound. And they believed that they should pay their pastors. Now, many Baptist churches in different places in Europe and everything else, pastors didn't get any pay. But over here, boy, it's hard to get a good preacher. It's a difficult thing because they're going to stick their neck in a noose. And so they would get down and sit down and they would write the names of the families and they said that we will support the ministry of this church. We will support our pastor and we will do that. And everybody will give the same amount. You're going to give so much money a month to support our pastor. And they did that. And they would sign their names in a book. If they were a member of that church. They didn't ask anybody else to give them money. That church supported the pastor. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Your Father that sees you in secret will repay you. You're never more like God than when you give. You're never more like God than when you give. For God so loved the world that He gave. You will not get to heaven by anything that you do, but only by the merits of Jesus Christ. That's it. You got the Arminian people, and sometimes you got your hyper-Calvinists that just almost demand righteousness on both ends. One of them said you're saved by grace, but you've got to have all these righteous deeds or you're not saved. The other one said you're saved by grace, but you've got to keep yourself saved. What difference does it sound like? Is there any difference in that sometimes? That your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. Our ministry here is unusual. I preach things that many pastors don't preach. I preach in Greek and in Hebrew, and I relate to that. I've taught systematic theology, kingdom studies, all the parables in the Bible, God's eternal purpose, the Bible in 8 ages, all of these classes I teach in the seminary. I went to the seminary 12 years, but I'll tell you what. If you listen to every sermon on Discover the Word with DrJim.com or DiscoverTheWord.com or on SermonAudio.com/DTW, you will have more of a biblical seminary education than I did. Brother Farrar told me, Brother Phillips, when you graduate from the seminary with a doctorate, and you learn Hebrew and Greek and a few other languages, Latin and a little German, he said, you will just have the license to learn. And when I graduated in 12 years, I took everything there was to be taken there. I got a license to learn. That was it. I got a license to learn. And I've been learning ever since. And that's since 1981. That's a long time. I learned more after I left the seminary than I did in the seminary. Because it gave me a license to learn. And, of course, I was only in the seminary 12 years. Some of you only go to seminary if you're a pastor 2 or 3 years or one or none. All I can give to you out there is a license to learn. If you study all these classes, you will have a license to learn. And when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites. Who do you think he's talking about again? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests. Well, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. They will never get it from me. This is the judge you're talking. This is the judge. But when you pray, go into your inner room, into your closet, in your bedroom. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. He'll answer you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. You know what that reminds me of so much is the Hail Marys and the Muslim prayers. If you're Muslim, you've got to pray to God in Arabic because that's the only language God knows. How foolish that is. And you don't pray from your heart. You pray that you memorize the Quran and you pray to it in vain repetition. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. And therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask for it. God can read your heart, read your minds. He does. I remember 25 years ago or so when my daughter was being so badly abused and I'd leave her in the hands of these scoundrels because of the court orders. I'd go off and I'd cry all the way to church just praying from my heart because I had no words to say. I couldn't say what was in my heart. Crying and crying, and I knew she was being abused all the time. And there was nothing I could do about it. I was doing everything I could. But pray. Sometimes you just can't pray. Sometimes you just have to let your heart talk to God. Then pray in this way, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, separate, high and holy, glorious be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I tell you what, wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a president and the Congress and the Senate that believed this? We wouldn't have any trouble in this country, would we? If they rubbed this off on everybody. Give us this day our daily bread. Allow us to have what we need to live and survive on, Father. Give us enough to eat, enough food to keep us alive. I tell you what, in my early part of my life, I didn't have enough food to stay alive, hardly. When my grandmother died, I weighed 165 pounds. I was in the eighth grade. When I graduated from high school, I weighed 139 pounds and 6'2". I was starving all that time, not getting enough food to eat. I know what it is not to get enough food to eat. You pray, you beg. Tell you a little story. I was going to Foothill High School. And this, my friends that I had, I didn't talk very much, but I had friends there. And they would go, and they would go to the cafeteria, and they'd go through the line, and they'd get hamburgers, cheeseburgers, they'd get flying saucers, which I really liked a lot. I survived on a glass of milk, a little carton of milk, and a flying saucer a day. That's what I survived on. That's what I ate for 24 hours. And I was working two jobs, three jobs sometimes, and going to school. And I walked up one day, and I gave my 25 cents to the guy there, and he gave me like a dollar and a half back. And I looked at him with my mouth open, and he said, "Shut up." Just like that. And he handed me two hamburgers and a flying saucer and a thing of milk. And that was it. That happened every day. That happened every day. Give us this day our daily bread. God dealt with those people's hearts. I didn't say anything. I didn't gripe about not having food to eat. They would sit there and eat their hamburgers and things. My friend Gary Harwell would go up to McDonald's. After he ate lunch, he'd go up there at McDonald's and order 10 cheeseburgers and 10 French fries and 2 or 3 milkshakes. I remember that. And I wouldn't even buy one. Give us this day our daily bread. When you're hungry, that means a lot, people. That right there means a lot. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to make sure that you have something. Have you ever get down with your nose against the grindstone and you didn't know which way to go and everything else, and all of a sudden God opens up the heavens and here comes the blessings that's coming down like you can't believe? You ask, you pray to God, and all of a sudden, kaboom, God answers the prayer, and you're so surprised. Wow. Well, you prayed to me, didn't you? He might say to you, you prayed this, you asked me. Give us this day our daily bread. That's real important when you're hungry. Forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but do not let us be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, part of that is not in the original language, and that is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's not in the original language. It sounds good. Nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't there. Okay? It's not in Greek. Later on, it was put in there many years later. Not from the original languages. For if you forgive men for your transgressions, and your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, when your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Sometimes it's hard to forgive people. Sometimes you forgive them and just go the other way and stay the other way. From now on. You just have to do that. And sometimes it's that way in church, isn't it, Marilyn? You've seen that happen. Yeah. You've seen it happen. I forgive them, and they're being hateful, and all of a sudden one day God just shined a light on them, and I'm sorry. But just remember. Mm-hmm. Just remember. God works in mysterious, its word is mysterion, mysterious ways. God can lead you through this life. If you look back on your life, especially when you get older, you know, you get in your 70s, 80s, and you start looking back on your life and you see how God led you through it, how God protected you in so many ways, how God led you to the right people at the right time, and be thankful. You're never more like God than when you give. Like He gave. When you give. You know those early church members there in Jerusalem and different places in the young church age? When they joined the church, they give everything they had to the church. Just give it all to the church. They were so thankful. They were so thankful that they gave everything. And just depended on God to take care of them. Guess who did that first? God gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. When you love God, you give. When you love God, you turn your life over to Him. When you love your God, you act like Him. As simple as that. You give. You give. You give of your time, you give of your money, you give of your life. How could you ever work your way to heaven? If there was a price tag on salvation, how many people would work themselves to death to escape hell to just pay the ticket? But God paid the ticket. You're never more like God than when you give. For God so loved the world that He gave. John said in 1 John, God is love. God gave His Son to us while we were yet sinners. God gave. While we were yet sinners, God gave. When we are His, we should give. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You so much for the blessings You give us each and every day. And in my life also, every day I turn the faucet on, I thank You for the well. Every day that I'm warm enough in the wintertime, I thank You for that. Every day when I lay down in bed, I thank You for the bed. And for the warmth, for the clothes on my back, the shoes on my feet, and the automobile when I get into it and turn the key and it runs. I'm so thankful, Father, for all the things You give to us. Please forgive me where I fail You. Please use this message wherever it goes in the world to honor and glorify You and Your Son. And thank You for giving Him to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.